Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Jackson Cox.
I'm Carson Cox.
And this is the Cox Sports Podcast. This is our first podcast. We're going to be doing mostly sports-related topics. And today we're going to be starting with NBA point guards ranked in tiers. So, Carson, if you want to go ahead and just explain what our tiers are and the classification system we use so that everyone's on the same page.
All right, so we pretty much took what we thought were the 25 best point guards or the 25 best point guards with some sort of promise. And so we divided up into our lowest tier, which is potential all-star, our second lowest tier, which is regular all-star, then you have superstar, and then we have Hall of Fame. And so potential all-star are point guards that have not been all-stars, and they are either up-and-coming players or we just believe that in a year, they could become an all-star at any time. All-star are players that have been an all-star at least once. Superstar are usually multi-time all-stars and top 10 point guards in the NBA. And then the Hall of Fame tier is, if that player were to retire right now, would he make it to the Hall of Fame? So that's how we divided it up, and I think this was the best way to do it.
Yeah, so real quick, players that are not involved that you may think, being an NBA fan, you may think our point guards, we're going to right now just say we base this off of the ESPN Fantasy app for fantasy basketball. That's the app that we use the most. So if their primary position was not point guard, we did not list them in this ranking.
So
people like Luka Doncic,
LeBron James,
James Harden.
Exactly. I mean, just because they may have the ball in their hands most of the time, if their primary position is not point guard, they were not.
We are doing their designated position.
And they will be safe for later rankings for their primary position.
Right. So, I think we covered everything.
I think some point guards that maybe are classified as point guards that we didn't include list are like Ricky Rubio, Malcolm Brogdon, like TJ, like, you
Eric
know,
Bledsoe,
major Eric yeah. Bledsoe, major point guards, but we only included ones that we saw like legit promise in. And the promise really came with youth. And if they are already, you know, 5+ years into the league and they haven't been an all-star yet, we usually didn't include them
definitely.
In this.
So. All right. So, yeah, I guess we'll get started here. We're going to go from bottom to top. So we're going to start with potential all-stars. Oh, also, we didn't add in this. So we do have a rule in this. We did our four rankings, and under potential all-star, we were able to add four players on our own. They were not on the list that we were choosing from for the tiers, so we will do that separately. So we're going to call them our wild cards, our four wild cards, and those are people that we think will be all-stars soon, but weren't quite in the tier list as far as like best point guards in the league. So, yeah, and also before we start doing this as well, Carson and I have not looked at each other's lists. We did this completely separately. We only thing we knew were the pool of players we were choosing from, and we were not looking at each other's like rankings at all. So this is going to be completely new news to us, so this is why it'll make the debate a lot better, I believe.
And, you know, the great thing about this is that we both have pretty good basketball minds, I'd say. So, you know, making this list was a challenge, but it was really interesting, really diving into the stats, especially when you get up to the, you know, higher tiers. It was really seeing, like, what truly separates, you know, this player from this player. So, yeah, I think if you're ready, I'm ready.
I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
All right. Kick it off with potential all-stars.
All right. So we're going to do potential all-stars. I'll go ahead and I guess just read my list of potential all-stars. And then
if we have any
differences, yeah, right, we can talk about it.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's see. Starting off the list, potential all-stars. First one, I went with Spencer Dinwiddie. Obviously, he's not been an all-star yet. Averaging 20.6 points per game this year. Really leading the Nets when Kyrie's been out.
I have to say, and I mean, he was a major contributing factor on that playoff run they had last year.
Right.
Him and D'Angelo Russell really had a strong backcourt last year. So
he's got ice. I mean, his game is like built for the NBA.
I'd say he's a big guard. He can really, you know, get his shot any way he wants it. He's a good shooter.
Absolutely.
His defense is a bit of a liability, I mean, the 6'5" frame, you know, can make up a lot of ground.
Right. His isolation game, I think, could potentially take him to all-star levels.
Absolutely.
I mean, if he ends up, I mean, he's averaging averaging 20.6 this year, he ends up averaging 23 or 24 in the future, he's going to be an all-star. Absolutely. So,
and doing this off the bench is just, I mean,
right. Yeah. Also, I mean, yeah, his production could be lessened with Kyrie being healthy is the only thing. I mean, hopefully though, he'll be good enough to the point whenever the NBA continues that he'll get the minutes that he deserves, because he's too good of a player to be sitting on the bench. And I mean, he'd be a great six man, but the problem is that Kyrie, when he's healthy, is much better. And so
he's a part of a great young core with the Brooklyn Nets. So when Kyrie and KD get back, it'll be interesting to see the guys like Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert try to get,
they can shoot. That team can shoot, set, man. Absolutely. So they're going to be important.
It'll be a big threat next year. No doubt. All right.
Next one, I went with Devontae Graham from the Charlotte Hornets.
I agree.
All right. So let's see. Averaging 18.2 points per game this year. Also 7.5 assists. That's a big number. That's a really good stat line. Yeah, I mean, for a second-year guy, that's – I mean, he's leading that team. I mean, it was interesting in the offseason. We're big Celtic fans, so as this podcast continues, you guys will probably start – getting that we're a little bit biased, but we try to stay as non-biased as possible. But we are huge Boston Celtic fans. They acquired Rozier, the Hornets did.
And you know, it's interesting because I mean, I wasn't really a big believer. I loved Devontae Graham at Kansas, but coming out, I never really saw him being, you know, much of a, you know, a player that got a lot of minutes. Right. And then when they added Terry Rozier, it was like, okay, this guy's going to get buried, you know. But I mean, they've done a great job, especially as of late, building this kind of two guard system.
Right.
With Rozier really coming on as late, like, and Devontae Graham, I mean, he had a really strong beginning, kind of fading out towards the end as Rozier's, you know, his stats started rising, but you know, I think he has a chance to.
Yeah, right. And with like their young core with Bridges and Rozier, Graham,
PJ Washington.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got. I mean, they're a couple draft picks away, maybe a free agency acquisition, which I doubt they'll get because of their like locality. They had a hard time doing that when Kemba was there.
If they just play the draft correctly, I think Devontae Graham could be their point guard for, you know.
I agree. No, great player. So definitely potential All Star with an 18.2 points per game, 7.5 assists. If he increases that even just a little bit, he's a contender, no doubt. All right, continuing on. Next player, we got Coby White from the Chicago Bulls. So this is a guy, 13.2 points per game this year. Most people would know him out of UNC from last year.
Great UNC team last year.
His speed is the first thing that sticks out to me. I really think of, you know, him and De'Aaron Fox and like John Wall, kind of like that. Their speed is just their thing. You know, his shooting could be improved, but he can finish. Like, I mean,
big guard once again coming in at 6'3", 6'5", great finisher at the back. The only challenge I see with Coby White is Zach LaVine. You know, he's a great player, but he just demands the ball. You know, he takes his shots, and he'll always get his shots. So seeing Coby White pair with him, I don't know how much. I mean, progress you could say Coby White's going to get, but definitely a great young player. I could definitely see him being an all-star.
No doubt. All right, so let's see. Moving on, we're gonna go with Colin Sexton here on the next one of the Cleveland Cavaliers. 2018-19 All Rookie Team. 20.8 points per game this year. It's a high number for him. We all know how much that Cavs team has struggled, especially with Bayline getting fired.
Absolutely.
They have gone through a lot, and I think he's really one of the few bright spots. There are a couple. They have a few veterans with, you know, with Love and Tristan Thompson, but it's kind of just really like not clicking. I kind of thought it could potentially in the East. Yeah. I thought that if Love and Tristan Thompson really played well, and you know, I mean, they all really haven't played poorly individually, but as a team, something just doesn't click, and that could be because of Beeline at the end of the day. But
and it'll be interesting with the recent acquisition of Andre Drummond as well.
Facts.
You see, you know, how that core kind of builds. Him and, you know, they kind of went for the trailblazer type of, you know, guard play with Sexton and Garland, like Lillard and McCollum.
Yeah, true.
And Garland not having a bad rookie year at all, but Colin Sexton definitely, you know, taking a huge step forward from last year.
Yeah.
You know, he's really, I mean, his all-around offensive game is pretty, you know, polished. Defense, I mean, he's big liability, but if he's performing – you know, if he gets up into the 23-24 range, I mean, I think he definitely has a chance to be on.
No doubt.
Yep.
All right, moving on. So we're on to Jamal Murray of the Denver Nuggets. So we're starting to get into a little bit – this is a more experienced player. 2016-17 all-rookie team. Last 3 years averaging 16, 18, and 18 points per game. That's in order of the last 3 years. I mean, he's literally on the cusp of being an all-star. Like, he, I would say out of this list, he's one of the closest guys that maybe, like, even potentially, like, next year could be an all-star, like, immediately. You know, he's been in the league for a while. We know his shooting ability, his scoring rate's high, and he plays on a really good team. One of the best team units in the NBA, I'd say. They, you know, and again, I, you know, coming from a Celtics fan, I'm kind of seeing next year or the next 2 years whether or not he takes that step, kind of like Jason Tatum did this year, to the point where he becomes, instead of an 18 points per game, 20, 23 points a game, 22 points a game. Yeah.
I would say I definitely agree. Having a center like Jokic, I mean, you know, they could be a deadly 1-2 punch out in the West. They went to the Western Conference semifinals and lost to 7 against the Blazers. You know, the only thing is, it's hard having a center, you know, be your core, I guess, of your whole team as far as offense goes. So, I mean, if the Nuggets want to take a big step, I think Jamal Murray must take that big step. If they want to compete with the likes of Warriors and the Lakers and the Clippers.
Because, I mean, Jokic is already established as one of the best centers in the game. And, you know, they need a guard that can go out there and get them, you know, 23, 24 points a game, because they have great role players, but they just don't have any. I mean, the problem is they don't have someone to give the ball to in late game situations, because Jokic, I mean, while he can stretch the floor, isn't going to really take you ISO. I mean, he's not a bad option by any means.
Murray needs to be that. I mean, you know, they gave him a big contract, so I think, if he lives up to what, you know, he's shown and what they're paying him, I think he can definitely become an all-star in the West.
Agreed. All right, moving on. Up next, we got Ja Morant from the Memphis Grizzlies. Obviously, one of the most exciting players of this year. He's just been a revelation. 17.6 points per game this year, 6.9 assists, which is also a good number. You know, I just really think of Westbrook when I see him. The explosion is insane, and he really has – I mean, he has one of the highest ceilings in this list, no doubt. I mean, he could really become – I mean, he could become Westbrook. I mean, he could – I mean, you know, and I think the – I mean, he's not quite – he's not quite as built as Westbrook is, so maybe rebounding might not be as high. But, I mean, I'm telling you, man, I mean, this dude will be able to score.
You know, it was great because at Murray State, you never really heard about him until they exploded against that win against Marquette.
Yeah,
they had that absurd stat line, and he's really just skyrocketed since. And I mean, had the NBA not taken a hiatus, you could very well argue he was going to be the rookie of the year. Obviously, it would have been first team all rookie, barring any Zion Williamson, the explosions. But yeah, I mean, Ja Morant will, I can confidently say he will be an all-star.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, that back to that Murray State game last year, that was like one of the only times I've literally just picked a game based off of just like one player.
Absolutely.
Like, I think everyone did that, you know. I think everyone gave him, like, pretty much gave Murray State. I mean, I think they were at one point, I mean, I'm sure like more people were picking them in the ESPN brackets than, you know, so it's crazy to think that how much of an impact he's had already, and this is literally his first year. Yeah, definitely going to be an all-star in the future, no doubt. All right, next up, this is a little more of a controversial one. People have a lot of opinions on this player. We're going to do Lonzo Ball from the New Orleans Pelicans. So real quick stats for this year. Okay, I mean, of course, people, you know, the verdict's out on whether or not Lonzo is going to be even an all-star. If he is worth where he was picked. 12.4 points per game this year, 7 assists and 6.2 rebounds. I mean, that stat line is pretty good. That's a great stat line, and I'm really liking his involvement with the Pelicans, you know, and I think that the more Zion grows, he could really be a big time player, because God, he dimes so well. And like, I'm telling, I mean, the thing is, like, Zion's going to need a guy that can dime, because this game is so much at the rim, so much, so many alley-oops, you know, just stuff like that. I think Lonzo is definitely one of the top 10 passers in the league. I mean, he has his vision's insane.
I agree. He has great guys to get the ball to: J.J. Redick, Brandon Ingram, Zion, Jackson Hayes, up-and-coming center. Surprisingly, his three-point percentage has grown four. It went from 34 percent for his career to 38% this year. And yeah, that's been huge for him, having that three ball, making people come out, you know, and respect the 3-point shot.
No, it's definitely improved the the form itself hasn't, but I mean, it's going in. That's a good stat. And I mean, you know, if he can continue to increase that even just a little bit, I mean, I'd say that's probably his ceiling with 3-pointers, that percentage. That's a good percentage. And of course we didn't finish the rest of the year.
You know, if you get a great big three, you can kind of be a Rondo, you know, when he had the big three. Yeah.
That's who I think about. You know, I was seeing during the quarantine, they're showing all the, you know, old NBA games when the Celtics were playing the Lakers and stuff. And like, you forget the kind of stat lines Rondo would put up. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
No, but he has the potential to, no doubt about it. I mean, if he really puts it together, I mean, these averages are showing me that, I mean, he could potentially be talking about a double-double or maybe even a triple-double at a ceiling for averages. I mean, he's up there, you know? I mean, definitely one to look out for. Of course, he's, you know, people have their opinions on him, but I think at the end of the day, he is improving, and I think it's better that he's out of the spotlight in L.A. and out of his dad's shadow and more so into his own niche. And
The only factor I could see maybe if Zion's game and Brandon Ingram's game progresses a whole lot, maybe he as far as the points per game, may take a hit, but I think his assists and rebounding will always be valuable to any team he plays on.
Agreed. All right. Next up on the list, we got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Great player, really blossomed this year. 2018-19 all rookie team, averaging 19.3 points per game this year. He has been a revelation for them, and that Thunder team out of nowhere just clicked.
I'm about to say, in a state where we all thought they were going to tank, get a good draft pick, they're in a playoff position. Yeah. So the guard combination between him and Chris Paul, has really just been a surprise. And having Dennis Schroeder, another great guard off the bench, Danilo Gallinari as well. He's really shined. He was on that the Clipper team last year that got two games off the Warriors. That's where we kind of saw him, you know, starting to rise a little bit to stardom, but I never thought it would take off to where he was a 20-point game scorer, at least so quickly, maybe in the future, but the year after, he's just taken a great step.
Yeah, and I think having Chris Paul and OKC for him has been good for him. I think that's a good person to kind of, have as your mentor. And obviously this year, 19 points a game for him is big time numbers. And while Paul is on the back end of his career, I think Gilgeous-Alexander is potentially going to be a star in OKC or if he ends up going elsewhere. But,
With the picks they have that they've acquired, he's an absolute diamond on the rough.
OKC has done a great job rebuilding after losing all that talent they had. They've had talent ever since they've been in the league, essentially, So this has really been the first time they haven't had like a star on their team, Chris Paul at the back end of his career, like I said. But
It's crazy. There were rumors that Chris Paul wasn't even going to play a game for OKC.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, now they're a playoff.
So he's definitely, I would say he'll be an all-star in the future based off of his progression thus far. Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, we got Markel Fultz, another very controversial player. As we all know, his struggles in Philadelphia were very well documented. It was to the point where we thought he had forgot how to play the game of basketball.
Most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Honestly.
Yeah, everyone was that draft was very well, everyone was following that to see kind of like what the Sixers and the Celtics were going to do as far as their picks. And I can safely say that I think we did make the right decision in drafting Jason Tatum.
Regardless, Markelle Fultz is a solid player. I mean, 12-5 on an Orlando team. It's an interesting fit. I didn't really think it was going to pan out that well, but he's starting to find a niche in the league, and that's what he needs.
He needed I do think that it was a little bit mental. I think that being the first pick, I think the expectations were weighing on him a little bit. The pick didn't really make much sense for Philadelphia as is because Ben Simmons handles the ball so much. Think about if they would have got Tatum. They'd be insane. He would kill. I think he's just a better Tobias Harris already. I like Tobias Harris, but
Big money.
Right. Young too. Even if they still had Tobias Harris, you could play both of them. That team would be insane. But
At Washington, you looked at him, he was best scoring guard you'd seen in 5 years. And then unfortunately, just the leap to the NBA. Just get some rookies.
But I kind of think like Lonzo, going to a different destination, kind of like getting a little bit of a restart. He seemed to found his, you know, he seemed to found a game where he's comfortable. And again, 12-5, not bad. I mean, you know, I was really thinking that he was going to be like one of the all-time busts. And I mean, he still might be. Something could happen. But I mean, as of right now, you know, he's playing a lot better. And Orlando's a good team. They're a good team. And I think he fits well. And I think that they needed somebody that can handle the ball. And their team's super athletic. They have Isaac, you know. They've got some guys that can, you know, and they're really long. And Markel's a long guard, you know. I mean, I think defensively he could potentially find a niche as well in the future. But,
you know, Orlando picking off that game last year against the defending Raptors.
They look good. And, I mean, this year they were ready to make it back. And, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to – I mean, you know, as a Celtics fan, I wouldn't have wanted to play them in the first round.
I said DJ Augustine, a veteran guard, you know, having his leadership.
And that's probably been good for Markel too, you know, having a veteran guard. And, I mean, DJ's been balling this year. But, all right, last on the potential all-star list, we have De'Aaron Fox. You know, it's been well documented his progression this year. You know, last year he was at 17.3 points per game and 7 assists. This year he's jumped his points per game to 20.4. He's one of the most talented guys on this list. Unfortunately, I think he's been kind of caught up in a situation in Sacramento where a lot of their draft picks haven't worked out.
Buddy Hield, I wouldn't say he's a bust, but
Bagley.
Yeah. So.
But he's worked out and he's going to be a star. I can confidently say that would be another one where I think he'll definitely
John Wall type 2.0. The only little issue I have with him, 3% is down on the three ball.
Yeah.
And
he's never been a great shooter.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the end of the day,
his ability to take you to the basket. I mean,
if he could even improve it a little bit, I'd agree. I did kind of like a John Wall Westbrook thing. Him and Ja are similar too. Those guys that are just freak athletes. His speed, I think that he is the fastest guy in the NBA right now.
The way he gets up and down the court, it's insane. A literal flash.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, his ball handling skills are insane. You know, he obviously is showing the ability to pass well. I'd love it for him if he could be able to build something in Sacramento. Yeah. But that organization struggles, really just finding pieces. They haven't been really relevant in a long time. So, if he can play well and attract a free agent or they get another good draft pick, they could do something down the road. Tough conference, obviously, with the Warriors coming up next year and then the Lakers the way they are. That's literally the toughest conference. I mean, that's the toughest division in the in the West, and definitely in the NBA probably, but yeah. So, all right. So that was our final one on the potential All-Stars. Do you want to go ahead and do our 4 wild cards or do you want to wait?
I think we should wait till the end.
Wait till the end for the 4 wild cards. Okay. All right. So we're going to wait till the end for the 4 wild cards. Again, those were the players that Carson and I chose.
Mystery for the end.
Right. Yeah. Those are the 4 players that were not on our list that we chose individually. We just thought these are the 4 guys that will probably – be NBA All-Stars, but just are kind of under the radar at this point. But we'll go ahead and wait. We'll go up one tier now to All-Star. So the category for this is obviously All-Star, and they had to have made an All-Star team in order to be in this category. But the big debate is whether or not, the threshold between All-Star and then Superstar, which is our second level. So we'll be doing our All-Stars right here. Carson, go ahead and do this category.
Because the potential All-Star was kind of a given, our field. But All-Star, I think this is really where we're going to get some, debate between one another.
Agreed.
All right. So for my All-Star tier, I'll start it off with D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell was a one-time All-Star last year with the Nets. He averages 23-6 this year. Great stat line for him. Moving to Minnesota, it'll be interesting to see him and Kat work together.
Yeah, I love the thing they did where they gave 1,000 free tickets to fans. You see that? That's awesome. I kind of feel like they already kind of have a good friendship, which is good because Kat's obviously had troubles in the past. Butler.
They've been attracting Devin Booker potentially. The only issue I see is their defensive. It'd be terrible. But, regardless, D'Angelo Russell's a great scorer. Another guy really in L.A. that thrived when they left, kind of in the same position as Lonzo. Struggled in Los Angeles, moved to Brooklyn.
So
led him to a playoff berth. And, was an All-Star last year.
So. Was he the one with that whole thing with Iggy?
And Nick Young.
He snitched on Nick Young. That's wild. Yeah, he kind of got ran out of town on that one. But obviously a great player.
grew his hair out, yeah. Got the tats, ice in his veins. I mean, he's got some swag. And it's cool because he has his own swag. Yeah, you know?
He does.
He doesn't really copy any. He has his own style, and I like that.
But again, not quite to that superstar threshold yet. The numbers are there, I think, but he's gonna need to be on a team that can really make a run in order for him to get up to that level, because he's just been on some teams where he's been a leader, but at the same time they've just kind of struggled. Not quite to that superstar threshold for me.
All right, I think we can move on. Next, I have Ben Simmons.
I have Ben Simmons as well.
Ben Simmons, 6'10" point guard, averaging 16.4 points and 8 assists, 2-time All-Star. Was a Rookie of the Year in 2017. Will probably be Rookie of the Year again this year. I'm not a big Ben Simmons guy, but you can't. 6'10". He's a great. He can finish at the basket. He's a great ball distributor. The shooting. God, if he could get any sort of jump shot where he didn't have to shoot within 10 feet of the basket, that would absolutely boost him.
If he could just be to the point where he could at least make a defender come out on him, he could take him off the dribble, because he's insane on the drive. Dude has length and he's really good at finishing around the basket. But the problem is he's having to start. Of course, he gets a running start on guys, but he doesn't have a lot of blow-by ability because guys are already so far back because they're just going to let him shoot.
I'm saying it sucks for Embiid as well, because, if your defender's at the free throw line, you can just kind of collapse and Embiid a little bit, because Simmons will be a threat from the outside. But regardless, having, two All-Star appearances, a little bit questionable on my end as far as they go, but, can't disregard what he's done. So I have Ben Simmons there. Yeah. Number three, Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry, 6-time All-Star, 1-time champion, obviously, 2015-2016 All-NBA team, and 14.7 points, 6.2 assists over career. He's a great defensive point guard, hasn't made any All-NBA defensive teams, but,
he's good.
He has struggled in the playoffs. That's kind of been, the kicker with Kyle Lowry, especially when he had DeMar DeRozan. Both of them really kind of collapsed. But, the Raptors are usually a good team, as far as regular season goes.
Right.
So, he usually gets the All-Star nod with being the second best team on the Raptors usually. So.
Right, yeah. Haven't been a huge fan of his in the past. He really did show his true colors, though, on that championship team.
Yeah.
He really did. He was big for them, I think. And when he was struggling on offense, he did make up for it on defense. Yeah. Obviously, 6-time All-Star is no joke. He's on his way to double-digit All-Star appearances, which is a big deal, So
I'd say it's a big-time move by the Raptors, deciding pretty much either getting rid of Lowry or DeRozan. Right, and they chose DeRozan, who I'm sure a lot of people weren't a fan of. But, getting Kawhi Leonard was absolute steal. One-year rental for a championship, which is huge for the city. So, but Kyle Lowry, you got to respect what he's done over the course of his career.
Of course, yeah. No, definitely not in the superstar threshold for me, because it looks like Pascal Siakam might take that role over, because he's just been emerging as an absolute star.
Absolutely emerged in the playoffs last year, and All-Star starter this year. So,
but he's been, Lowry's proven that he's a good two guy pretty much. So, which is a great role for him. So, definitely an All-Star, not a superstar.
Yeah. And then my last player for All-Star, I have Trae Young. This season he absolutely exploded.
Right.
Like, I never thought he had a great rookie season, but 29.6 points and 9.3 assists. That's just ridiculous.
Right.
And, being an all-rookie team, being an All-Star starter in your second year, having the Steph Curry comparisons out of college, you're kind of thinking, he had a great career at Oklahoma, but you're kind of thinking, come on.
Yeah, I didn't know how Steph Curry was going to translate.
But God, it's translated, man.
I know.
He's really exploded. Unfortunately, playing for the Hawks, but I think their core is pretty decent with Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter, adding, Clint Capela, and John Collins. He's a solid player. So
he's making a run at trying to be Curry 2.0. He's going to shoot it, and he's going to shoot it at a high clip. Showing that he's a really good passer. Obviously, turnovers are an issue. He's still just kind of like at Oklahoma. He tends to get high up in the turnovers.
Yeah.
But again, on Oklahoma and on the Hawks, has the ball in his hands all the time. So that stuff's going to happen.
His defense, though, is one of the worst in the NBA.
Yeah, his physicality is a liability always. Especially against a bigger guard, he's going to have a hard time. But
so if you can surround him with some defenders, I think the Hawks could – probably not in the near future, but over time. If DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish develop, I think they could be a real threat with Trae Young at the point guard.
Agreed.
All right, well, that's all for my – do you have anybody left?
I got John Wall
very interesting.
In my all-star, not in my superstar. I'm assuming you have him in your superstar. All right. Yeah, so this is a tough one. You know, I was kind of basing it off of, obviously his career has been impressive, but as of late, I think he's gone from the superstar tier to down to the all-star tier. You know, I mean, five-time all-star, you know, 2016-17 All-NBA, one-time nod for all-defensive team. But, you know, my thing is he's literally only played 73 games in the past two seasons.
That's definitely a factor for him. But, you know, my thing with John Wall is when healthy – I mean, he takes the – I mean, you can see the Wizards now. They're one of the worst. Yeah. Being Bradley Beal-led. They had John Wall and a lot worse Bradley Beal – and a Markieff Morris, Marcin Gortat, Otto Porter. He really took the Celtics to Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Absolutely. I mean, we went to that series, and we watched the Wizards absolutely dust the Celtics.
Going on that 26-0 run.
He was electric.
I have to say. So, I mean, just his jump shot, you know, maybe is – I mean, it's definitely a question, but his ability to get to the basket and his ball distribution is, I think – one of the best in the NBA.
Yeah, I agree. I think when he's on, you can make the argument, but I think as of right now, he's going to have to really get back to being.
The injury's definitely a kicker with him.
73 games in the past two seasons just doesn't cut it. I mean, of course, it's not his fault, but I mean, you just can't. I can't keep you in that tier if you're only going to play that amount of games. I mean, he's really just, you know, struggled for time to even on the court. But definitely. I was considering it a lot. I had a hard time, but you know, I just couldn't keep him up there. John Wall in my all-star tier. That rounds out our all-star tier.
Moving on to superstar.
Yeah, moving on to superstar.
Superstar, I have four players.
I have two. So seems as though we have differed on one Hall of Fame person as our highest category. I'll go ahead and start. I've gone for superstar. My first person is Kyrie Irving.
I have Kyrie Irving as well.
Okay, so you also have Kyrie in your superstar. You know, six-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA, obviously the championship with Cleveland. You know, this guy has really just elevated his game to the point where I think he is a superstar, whether or not you base it off of his championship performance with the Cavaliers, where he was – I mean, he's literally one of the – you know, he's never even really talked about, you know, among a lot of people because, of course, that was LeBron's championship in Cleveland. Yeah. But, I mean, he was so responsible for bringing that home. Absolutely. I mean, he was insane in Game 6 and 7.
The 41 points in Game 6 combined with LeBron James, 41 points. Yeah. I mean, you know. That's just – it really goes under the radar because you're right. I mean, it is a LeBron highlighted championship. But, I mean, you know, coming from a Celtics fan, it's hard, you know, because of coming here, saying he was going to stay, having this great young core for him to build around, saying he wants to be the number one guy, and then absolutely duds in the playoffs against the Bucks, and then going to Brooklyn to pair with Kevin Durant. I don't really know what that's – I mean, I think he has his – priorities a bit mixed up. But as far as basketball and as far as his scoring ability, I mean, it's – unparalleled.
You know, of course, as a Celtic fan, I have a little bit of hard feelings towards him, but at the end of the day, he is a superstar, and you know, when he's playing and doing well, and when, you know, of course, that trade to Brooklyn was all over. I mean, that was a huge deal. You know, when superstars move, I mean, it's a big deal, and he moved, and it was a big deal because he went to go join up.
Absolutely.
You know, when that team gets healthy, they're going to be a problem. And Kyrie, in my mind, is no doubt a superstar.
He's a championship point guard, and that absolutely classifies superstar.
Because I mean, in this day and age, there really aren't many championship point guards that are running around out there, you know, that are you know, superstar level. So, Kyrie in the superstar category for me, and you as well.
Yep.
All right. So moving on, I only had two, so this is my last one.
Okay.
I went with Damian Lillard.
I did too.
In the superstar category.
Yeah.
You know, Damian, five-time All-Star, four-time All-NBA. He's been known for having a flair for the dramatic in the playoffs. Those game winners he hit against the Rockets and the Thunder were just insanity.
Absolutely. I mean, history book type, you know, game winners right there.
Literally.
I mean, for me, Damian, I almost put him in my Hall of Fame category.
Yeah, you know, same with Kyrie. It's kind of one of those things, as of right now, I don't know if I could put him in. But yeah. I think him and Kyrie at the end of the day probably would be in the Hall of Fame. But I couldn't put him in there right now.
I think Lillard, I mean, despite the playoff game winners, I think his overall, you know, record and his success in the playoffs hasn't really been. I mean, going to the Western Conference Finals, losing to the Warriors, but yeah. – I mean, no finals appearances.
Right.
you know, I just really think he needs to, you know, make it to the finals or maybe win one.
Yeah, he, you know, it's
be a safe Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and this year in Portland, it was, you know, kind of tough sledding for that team. I kind of thought they might, you know, it was funny. Hassan Whiteside's having such a good year, and you would have thought that that would have elevated them. I mean, you know, they of course they don't have Nurkic, but I mean, like, you would have thought, and then maybe with the addition of Carmelo, you know, that team's really going to do something. Yeah. I mean, they were fighting to even make it to the playoffs when before the season.
CJ McCollum kind of taking a little bit of a step down, but
Damian was up to his old tricks. I mean, he was insane for that little stretch he had where he was averaging what, like
35.7 points in the month of January.
Yeah, like that's ridiculous. And then he went in like didn't he have like a week where he averaged like 48 points a game or like something like that, like in a consistent.
I mean, if he can continue, you know, type. I mean, he'll definitely, I think, be on pace for a Hall of Fame type point guard. Yeah, he's definitely, I would, you say he's a championship point guard? I would say so.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, dude, if
he was surrounded by the right pieces.
Again, if this whole thing in Portland doesn't work out, I could definitely see him going somewhere. Sure, I mean, you imagine if, I mean, I don't know if the Lakers have it in them, but could you imagine if they even picked up Dame or
like
any,
the Bucks or, I mean, just.
Dude, insane.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
He would add a completely different dimension to a team, you know. Just a bona fide scorer.
And I mean, if you're Portland, you really got to take a look at, you know, Willard and McCollum. I mean, they did make it to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I mean, you knew they were going to get swept by that Warriors. I mean, it's not a fluke, you know, finals appearance. But I mean, beating the Nuggets and I mean, the Nuggets won, like, you know, a suspect type playoff team.
Right.
I mean, they were a 2 seed, but I mean, clearly weren't better than the Warriors or the Rockets,
right?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my thing with them is kind of like, do I trust CJ McCollum to pick up the slack when Damian isn't going to perform? Because there will be some games down the stretch, even if they end up making the playoffs in the future. And I mean, he has so far, but it just hasn't led to results. And of course, I mean, when you run into the Warriors, that's one thing. A full Warriors squad last year was insane.
Both of them also being big liabilities on defense kind of hurts.
Yeah.
You know, overall, I mean, Hassan Whiteside, I mean, you can't just have a good defending big man. They don't really have any good with Carmelo. I mean, God, they don't have any good defending wings or guards. So, I mean, if he can get surrounded with a, you know, defensive base team, maybe, I think he can definitely, you know, escalate into finals and championship appearances.
Agreed. Yeah, so that's my superstar bracket. I guess, do you just want to name off our Hall of Fame bracket?
I have one more in superstar.
Oh, you do have another superstar.
I have Kemba Walker.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Kemba in my all-star one.
I have Kemba Walker as a superstar. Kemba Walker, 4-time all-star, 2-time starter over the past with 2 different teams, averaging 25 points per game with the Hornets last year. I mean, 1-time All-NBA, 20 points per game on the Celtics this year, kind of a decline, but God, who knew the emergence of Jason Tatum was going to be this?
And Jaylen Brown, both are having big-time years.
So, you know, him taking a step back for them, I think definitely stat-wise, you think, oh, this man's not a superstar.
Yeah.
Also, you know, him on the Hornets didn't really win a whole lot. But I think he's a championship point guard. I think he falls under the criteria of Damian Lillard, Kyrie Irving. Because, I mean, if you think about it, I think Damian Lillard and Kyrie Irving both don't have the type of wings that the Celtics do. You know, having to share the ball as much as Kemba does.
Yeah.
So I think he falls under that category, regardless of, you know, the slight, you know, disappointment of 20 points per game.
Right.
And of course, I'm biased.
I'm a Celtics fan too. I put him in all-star. That's where I put him. You know, I love Kemba. I think he's been a good addition to the Celtics. I like his locker room presence a lot. I think it was a big upgrade from Kyrie. I think Kyrie really hurt Tatum and Brown's progression. I think Kemba's been okay with, you know, playing second fiddle to Tatum and kind of just like really letting him shine, which is big because, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Tatum's young. I mean, he's a young guy and, you know, he still has his prime of his career, you know, and I think Kemba is in his prime right now, maybe just a tad past, if anything, but, you know, I think the only problem with not having him in the or having him in the superstar tier is that, you know, his, you know, this year he just hasn't quite been what I thought he was going to be.
As far as scoring.
Yeah, I mean, as far as scoring and also, I mean, you know, the only thing I see is that I don't know if he'll get back up to that level where he was at the Hornets because of the young stars in the Celtics. I don't see him all of a sudden.
I agree.
Like he could have a great playoffs, like, you know, if they end up playing the play, you know, he could have a great playoff run and that would make him, you know, just like put him up in the superstar thing, which is a big deal. But as far as like, of course, him being on the Hornets, you know, his whole career, he's only really had a chance to shine in the regular season. You know, that's been his playoffs. So, you know, I think that's going to be hard for him on the Celtics with, you know, the young stars. So for that reason, I had to put him an all-star, you know, and I think he'll make more all-star teams. Yeah. He's a great option, you know, and I mean, obviously I'm a big fan, yeah. But yeah, no, I just couldn't put him up with like Dame and Kyrie because I just think they kind of, I think Kyrie's gone places and still kind of been the man, you know, and, you know, I even think when Kyrie went to Boston, he kind of like was still the man. Obviously, you know, you can debate whether or not it was effective, but at the end of the day, I think Kyrie didn't really let his progression drop off, regardless if it was for the benefit of the team or not. And again, you know, I just, you know, I haven't really seen Kemba in the playoffs yet. I would like to see him in the playoffs and see how he does, because Dame and Kyrie have proven that they show out in the playoffs.
Nah, about to say, it wasn't like a certified.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Superstar.
But, yeah.
But, I mean, just, you know, a back-to-back two-time starter, I mean, I think that puts you in a
definitely borderline
an elite category. Yeah. So I put him in my
I think just based off this year for me, I couldn't put him up that high. Yeah. But,
I mean, absolutely fair.
All right, so let's see. We got our last category here. We're going
Hall of Fame,
or I guess we also have our wild cards to do. Second to last. But these are our Hall of Fame. So these are guys that if the season ended today, we think they'd be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you go ahead and take this one.
All right, Chris Paul. I mean, I think Chris Paul, 10-time All-Star, 9-time All-Defensive Team, 8-time All-NBA, 6-time steal champion, averaging, you know, 18.5 points,
9.5
assists per career. And, I mean, I think everywhere he's been, you know, he's been pretty – I mean, despite maybe being on the Hornets at the beginning of his career. But when he went to the Clippers, I mean, I know necessarily they didn't make it, you know, past the second round, but they were definitely better than they had ever been before.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, with the Rockets, they made it to Game 7 against the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. So, I mean, he's a great point guard. He can make, you know, any player better. And, obviously, his accolades speak for himself as far as, you know, being more elite than, I'd say, the people we put in the superstar categories.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a tough one. I put him in my Hall of Fame category, you know, and I think for me it's mostly the longevity of his career, just being able to maintain, you know, such a consistent, you know, scoring and assist output, you know, and I mean, you know, the you know, some of these stats kind of really jump out to you. I mean, you know, obviously if you're, you know, a 10-time All-Star is a big deal. I mean, you know, if you're in double digits for All-Stars, you know, you've been doing it for a decade, which is, I mean, you know, that's the hardest thing, I think. You know, people can have great, you know, seasons or, you know, one or two seasons, you know, but when you can stretch that over the course of a whole decade, that's really nice. And like you said earlier, you know, 4-time assist champ, 6-time steal champ, you know, those are, I mean, those are pretty crazy numbers. I mean, to have led in steals 6 times is, I mean, you know, it shows you that he's really well-rounded. 8-time All-NBA. You know, I also added in he's won 2 Olympic gold medals.
No, absolutely.
You know, I mean,
there's a lot of credit for that.
Right. So that's one of those things that, you know, I kind of think that while he is lacking in playoff, you know, pedigree finals, and, you know, finals, championships, I think he has made up for it in just, you know, being a all around good player. And, you know, and I think the teams he's led, I mean, you know, necessarily not have good playoffs, but I mean, they've been great regular season teams.
And also, I mean, I don't really think he's been surrounded by the right pieces, really, because, I mean, with the Clippers, Blake Griffin, I mean, that's just tough, having two big men, you know, being, you know, the big, you know, factor in your offense, and then being paired with James Harden. I don't think – it wasn't a bad fit, but, you know, I think he can still – you know, be the man on a great offensive team. Championship, maybe not now, but definitely in the prime of his career, I think he could have been.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it could still yet to be seen. I mean, you know, I kind of thought maybe, you know, the Lakers are going to make a run at it.
No, absolutely.
The problem is that I don't really know if he's quite yet ready to play second fiddle to somebody yet. And, you know, maybe that's just his ego. I don't know if that's going to end up hindering his championship, his, you know, potential championship wins. But, I mean, you know, I think at this point in his career, OKC's a good fit for him. Yeah, and I think he's done a good job there. So
I really agree too.
You know,
and
I think
definitely if his, you know, career would end right now, I think he'd definitely make it home.
Yeah, I think so too, personally. I mean, of course, I think that could be debatable. Or, you know, he's not exactly the most popular figure in the NBA. So I can see people, you know,
pushing back.
Right, but, of course. But,
no, but
I think at the end of the day, you got to put him in there. So. I mean, sorry. You know, 10-time All-Star. I'm sorry.
He's really done it all.
Yeah,
I mean, besides the championship, right. You know, really. So.
But again, you know, people are talking. I mean, so then if you're going to tell me, well, you know, oh, well, Bill Russell's the GOAT then because he has 10 champions, you know, that whole argument, you know, I mean, if you got to stay consistent if you're going to talk about that championships aren't everything. Yep. Well, then I'm going to tell you right now that championships aren't everything for Chris Paul, and I still think he's definitely in the Hall of Fame.
I agree. All right. I also had Russell Westbrook in my Hall of Fame category. I mean, just averaging triple-double 2 years in a row.
That was three.
It's kind of like the Miguel Cabrera triple crown type deal. Yeah. You know,
literally
you
do that insane.
And, you know, you got a ticket to Hall of Fame. Yeah. And, God, just over the base of his career, 27.5 points, eight assists, seven rebounds.
Yeah.
And this is with James Harden. And, I mean, that's just tough to do. I mean, James Harden just, you know, being so ball dominant. I mean, at one point averaging 38 points per game. I mean, you know, how would you ever think these two guys would mince together? But, I mean, when they really resorted to the small ball option, I think at the beginning it worked. They were still trying to figure things out. But, yeah, I think they've paired well together. Also, I mean, he's a two-time scoring champ, eight-time All-NBA, obviously MVP. One finals appearance, even though it was with Kevin Durant, but, you know, he was still the base point guard for that team.
Yeah.
Also a nine-time All-Star. And, I mean, with the 2016 triple-double season, he averaged 37 points, and that is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just basing off the triple-double statistics and – you know, the accolades that he has, you know, accomplished in the NBA.
Did you say 30? I thought it was 31. Because honestly, I think that break the record.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, no, I feel you. Either way, that year was insane. I mean, yeah, again, of course, you know, one of two players to have averaged a triple-double in a season with, you know, Oscar Robertson. So, that, I mean, he's done things that are very unique to the game, and I think that's a lot of what being in the Hall of Fame is, you know, as our next player also has done, you know, being able to really separate yourself from the pack and being, you know, somebody that doesn't really go by the grain. You know, he's kind of he introduced a different type of point guard when he came into the league. There haven't been a lot of point guards kind of like him, you know.
Above the rim point guards. Yeah.
You really introduced
that to the guys like De'Aaron Fox, Ja Morant. So.
Right. So, that being said, I couldn't agree with you more. I think he's in the Hall of Fame. You know, of course, I mean, maybe, you know, this is another one that I think is controversial. I think everybody on this list could be potentially controversial, probably besides the first one, or I mean, besides the next person we're about to talk about. But, you know, I think with all his accolades and his ability over that 3-year stretch to average a triple-double and, you know, future still holding, you know, I mean, he could do some great things.
Say, if he obtains a championship,
that'd be icing.
I think he's definitely in the Hall of Fame. And last, but certainly not least, as far as Hall of Fame goes, Steph Curry.
Of course.
I mean, what is their need? I mean, unanimous MVP, two-time MVP, three-time champion. The only thing, the knock on Curry is no finals MVP. But, you know, regardless, he's done great in the series that, you know, he's played in. But and also a knock is, you know, being paired with Kevin Durant. But, I mean, his shooting ability. And talk about, you know, setting trends in the NBA. I mean, pulling up from, you know, 30 plus feet was just not a thing until Steph Curry.
He revolutionized the three. He's made it to the point where it's, you know, I mean, you know, I
if
mean,
you can't shoot the three, you, yeah, you know, you right. can't be in the NBA.
So. Yeah, I know, right? Unless you were just an insane athlete. But yeah, I mean, you know, 43.5% from three in his career. You know, of course, you know, most threes made in the season. Most threes in the NBA Finals history already. And I mean, I'm sure this won't be the last one he goes to. But you know, yeah, like you said, it's just you couldn't really not put him in there because he still has so much of his career left and he's already done all this. Of course, like you said, the knock on him is, you know, well, when you pair up with KD, But again, I think he proved that on the team that, again, the Warriors drafted. They drafted that team. You know, a lot of people are going to say, well, that team was stacked. I mean, yeah, well, if you draft everyone.
They drafted, the best record-wise team in history.
Yeah. So, I mean, with that being said, I mean, that's just – I mean,
also, a great thing about Steph is, you know, you wouldn't think he'd be able to play with all these great players because, you know, he needs the shots, but he doesn't. I mean, he's so good at taking making sure everybody gets their amount of shots while, he still thrives in his own – you know, his own way.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think a lot of, you know, with KD coming to the team, I think a lot of, you know, people were questioning whether or not, you know, that was going to work. Yeah. And I think Steph was okay with letting KD, have his games. And, you know, and I mean, of course, I don't think we got quite as much Steph as, you know, we got on the
Prime
team. On the 2016 team. But, you know, it's... You know, I mean, I think at the end of the day, he's a selfless player, and I think that his ability to work with KD was really important, and of course, securing those championships. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think he's in the Hall of Fame. No doubt. I think he would probably be I think he'd probably be the only one on this list right now that if it ended, I think he'd be first ballot. No doubt. I think he just has already transcended the game so much. Yep. But yeah, so that is our Hall of Fame tier. So we will now end it with our four wild cards. And so these are guys that we're kind of like, maybe you guys are already informed, but we're trying to let you know about some future guys that might really be, big time, in these upcoming years. So these are four wild card, potential all-stars. So yeah, I'll go ahead and start. I guess we can kind of trade off unless we have the same guys listed. You can kind of go with your next guy.
I think we should probably have. I mean, it's hard with young point guards. There's only a select amount. But I think we should have around the same. So
okay. So my first guy I went with was Fred VanVleet. Did you list him?
I did not.
So I went with him. 2018-19 NBA champ. This year, really good year. It's averaging 17.6 points per game, 6 assists. It was undeniable how important he was in that championship team. On that championship team, 22 points in the series clinching win. When the Raptors tried to implement that box and one on Curry, they really tried to, shut him down. And he was one of the main reasons that Curry was, relatively quiet in that clinching game. He was actually, it was interesting. I found that, he was second in the finals MVP voting behind Kawhi, which is kind of crazy. That just shows you how much of an impact he had in that series. A two-way player, like I said. And I think this year, averaging 17 points a game and 6 assists on, that's a big leap.
That is.
Because I think last year he was around 10 points a game. Yeah. So, and having Lowry on the team as well, being able to come off the bench, maybe, gets a few starts here and there. But, being able to really be relatively, relatively on the bench and still doing the things that he's doing is very impressive. This is only his third year. So I can really only see him.
Him and Kyle Lowry complement each other very well. When Lowry, struggles on offense, especially in the playoffs, I think Fred VanVleet came in huge picking that.
Agreed. So, that's my first one. I could definitely see him being an all-star down the stretch because of how good the Raptors are going to be with Siakam and their supporting cast. Yep. I think they're not going anywhere. I could definitely see him being an all-star. So that's my first one. Who do you got for?
I think Darius Garland.
Okay, I also listed Darius Garland.
Yeah. Went to Vanderbilt University. And,
anchor down.
12-4 and 12 points, 4 assists. He's still very young. Really big kick on him is his three ball shooting 30%.
That is a little bit low.
Yeah, just coming into the NBA, I think he was going to be a better shooter. But, it's hard, but there's still time to develop that. And it will be interesting. I don't know if he's in quite the right position with Colin Sexton.
Right.
But, I think if he maybe – I think he could still thrive with Sexton, but I think if he, maybe got more shots – with Kevin Love and Drummond, I think if he, got in a place where he could, facilitate, have the ball more in his hands, I think he could, climb the ladder a little bit as far as All-Star goes.
Yeah, I agree. I was a little bit disappointed with his shooting this year. If you don't know, Carson and I are pretty big Vanderbilt fans. Our dad went to Vanderbilt, so we gave up with Vandy basketball a decent amount, and we were obviously devastated last year when he tore his ACL and was out for the year. That was just a huge kick.
So much hype.
I know. He was – I watched him play in he only got to play in, 5 or 6 games, and I just automatically knew he was going to be a star. He would have been so good for us. But, from what I had seen him play at Vandy and then, of course, with Cleveland, he's got a really pure jump shot. The percentage isn't there, but I think it will be at the end of the day. I think, again, like you said, something I do worry about is Sexton being the guy in Cleveland. And he's solidified that this year with his production. So that could be difficult for Garland. If he's able to either move or, really grow into a role as maybe a backup or he could maybe be a two.
Fred VanVleet.
Yeah. If he could shoot it at a high clip, you couldn't keep him on the bench. And, he's a good finisher around the rim, a little bit undersized a two, but, I think at the end of the day, he's got big time potential and, I'm really hoping that he ends up kind of, proving his worth. So that's definitely someone I guess we both think will be an all-star soon. My next one I'll go with, I'm going to go with Frank Mason on this one. So this one might be a little controversial. So you don't have Frank on yours. We're from Colonial Heights, Virginia. Frank's a native of Petersburg. So big fans of his. Without my bias included, I kind of always thought he was gonna, you know, be a big time impact. He's gonna make a big time impact in the NBA. You know, of course, his size is always the problem. You know, he's, I mean, he's down almost at IT status as far as size. I mean, he's probably a little bit bigger, but you know, as of course, as you guys know, you know, he played in the NBA a little bit the past two seasons, but this year he's down in the G League, actually leading the G League in scoring at 26 points a game. You know, I mean, he was National Player of the Year at Kansas. I mean, can show that he can straight up score. And I mean, you know what? I mean, if Isaiah Thomas can have a year like he had in Boston, I don't see why Frank Mason, if he found the right team, could potentially not as I don't think he could ever reach that, you know, what IT did in Boston that one year. But at the end of the day, I think he really could be an effective player. And I mean, you know, if he found the right team, I think, you know, he could make an All-Star appearance, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, I just think it's more so, will he ever get the chance? More so the question. But yeah, no, that's someone that I'm definitely looking out for. I hope that this G League campaign will really show that he belongs in the NBA. I don't think he should be in the G League regardless. If you're putting up 26 in the G League, bro, you should be up in the league. Like, sorry, but
yeah,
that's just
kind of unfortunate what him and De'Aaron Fox were drafted in together.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, you know, I mean, and so, just, and then I think he's, I mean, yeah, he's in Milwaukee now, maybe, yeah. But you know, and I mean, I think he, I mean, I'm,
yeah, yeah, I mean, talk about a place that doesn't have, you know,
Bledsoe's okay, but I think
he could definitely film that.
But I think his size might end up hurting him. But I think at the end of the day, he deserves a chance. So that's definitely someone I could see being an All-Star. Mm-hmm. All right.
I kind of had an interesting one. I had Shake Milton.
Okay.
Backup point guard for the 76ers.
Okay.
Averaging 15.6 points when Ben Simmons doesn't play. And, I mean, obviously has a respectable jump shot.
Very much, yeah.
Actually, very interesting because he was the 54th pick.
2018 draft. SMU. Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, if they were talking about, you know, Ben Simmons, his offensive game having defenders clog the lane for Joel Embiid. And,
right.
You know, maybe they wanted to move on from Simmons. I think Shake Milton would be a very respectable, you know, role filler for that.
Absolutely. No, I agree.
I mean, he scored 39 points against the Lakers, which is never
a joke. That's true. So, yeah, he showed potential. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to kind of see what ends up happening with the Sixers as far as if they, you know, because I think they do kind of have to potentially choose between Embiid and Simmons, you know, who they're going to keep.
Agree.
So he could be, you know, I mean, that could be somebody that the Sixers are like, well, you know what, I mean, maybe this will incline us to get rid of Simmons as opposed to Embiid. I mean,
if I were to choose, I think I'd get rid of Simmons over Embiid.
Ah, so tough for me. I like Embiid a lot. I worry about his health still, so I'd probably choose Simmons for me. And I think I would choose a point guard personally over a center, but that's just me. I'd probably choose Simmons in that category. But Shake Milton definitely making a name for himself. So
I had to include him in there.
Yeah. So last one I have is Carson Edwards. So I had to give a Boston Celtics shout out here. But so I mean, obviously, if you watched the NCAA tournament last year, you guys know the type of clip
ridiculous type of scoring that he had in that tournament.
I go to the University of Virginia, and Carson's a big UVA fan, so we were sweating when he was balling on us. 40-point game in the NCAA
just
tournament.
The confidence in his shot in the game against UVA was just pulling up, just absolutely
rim involved, all just net.
Absolute butter.
He's a bucket. Of course, you know, I think with the Celtics, you know, with the young guys progressing this year, I think a lot of their draft picks kind of got like swept under the rug. And I think he was one that maybe kind of came into the NBA and maybe just kind of got, you know, big eyes real quick.
Yeah.
You know, when we'd be watching games, I kind of noticed he would just be like rushing his jump shot a little bit, kind of uncomfortable with the NBA game right now.
And, you know, the only downside, I think, of, you know, shooting 17 threes with Purdue per game is, you know, you're just not going to get that.
Yeah, right. And, yeah. I mean, the problem is that I think he feels like shooting is his ticket, which I think it is. And the problem is, you know, it's just such a streaky business to be a shooter. So, you know, I think I think his progression in the G League is one to watch out for. And I think that, you know, in the upcoming years – he could really make a run at being our backup point guard. Cause I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think Wanamaker does the job as our backup. And I think we were hoping Carson Edwards was going to be the backup this year, but you know, I mean, he just came up and struggled, really didn't hit many shots at all. So, you know, I mean, I like being able to send him down to the G League and let him progress. But I mean, if he came up, I mean, he could really do some stuff, man. I mean, his scoring clip is stupid when he's hot. So I could see him making an All-Star team down the road.
I mean, his defensive ability probably, you know,
a little bit of a question mark.
But I mean, talk about a team that thrived with a, you know, small point guard.
Absolutely.
I think he could absolutely, I mean, obviously not, you know, do what Isaiah did, but, you know, maybe in portions. So
exactly, yeah.
So I think he can thrive, especially with Brad Stevens. I mean, having a play caller like that.
Yeah. I think
anybody can thrive, I think.
Agreed.
So you're done with yours, four wild cards.
That's my correct? Four wild cards. Right, yeah.
My last one, Ty Drum.
Oh, you got Ty in there. You had to sneak a little UVA shout out in there.
A UVA shout out for my boy Ty Drum.
Let's hear what you. Let's hear. Okay, I would say no on this one personally.
The issue with Ty Drum is one. Okay, first off, the small ankle injury on the fantasy app. Absolute botch. That was the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
I know.
But only getting 11 minutes per game, 3.5 points, 1.5 assists. He's haunted by injury, and that's affected the beginning.
Yeah.
But I mean, we don't really know how reliable Ricky Rubio is. But I mean, Ty Drum having that, 6'5", 6'6" frame.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, talk about a place that needs a facilitator at point guard. I mean,
right.
Ty Drum could definitely give you that, and I think he scores. I think he can score better than Ricky Rubio. The defensive side of the ball, I don't really think that's gonna.
His quickness always. I mean, you could even see it in college. It was a bit.
It's an issue.
It's gonna lack.
But I mean, especially if the Suns move on from Booker, I think he could definitely take up in that guard role.
I think his touch around the rim is nice. I think the problem is that can he get to spots on the floor? Yeah. Because he has such good touch around the rim, his floater is just, he literally had one of the best floaters in college last year, no doubt. I mean, that one he had against
Texas Tech was just stupid. I mean, it's just craftiness and his ability, to use the pick and roll, pick and pop game, I think will definitely come into play. All-star, I mean, it's just hard because the West is so guard dominated, but
no, I mean, it's a shout. I mean, this is just wild cards who we think.
Definitely, I think if he is used correctly and I think if he, gets the right amount of touches, I definitely think he can make an impact.
No, I think so too, definitely. Yeah. That's a good shout. I mean, we'll just have to see how he progresses.
Actually had, trouble picking the last dude.
Could have picked Kyle Guy. Maybe not a point guard. Kind of plays point guard in the G League, but we'll see.
Somebody's taking balling. The G League by
he's top 10 scoring.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So I think that does it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Let us know what you guys' thoughts are. You can contact us on Twitter. I'm at Jackson J. Cox.
I'm at Carson Cox 44.
Hit us up and let us know what you think about these tier rankings and whether you agree or disagree. We should be back pretty soon with another position tier rank.
I was about to say, we're going to try to, knock out shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center.
Yeah.
And, of course, all of our, once again, our position rankings are based off of their primary position based on ESPN fantasy basketball.
Right, yeah. So we just kind of based it on that. So, if you think we missed out on, Luka or Harden, well, they'll be in shooting guard, so don't worry.
And also,
LeBron will be in small forward.
Shout out to the bench. Point guards come off the bench and, low-end starters to them, too. Sorry you didn't make our list. But,
yeah, sorry. We only had a select amount of people we could choose from.
It's so hard to, classify them. But, definitely see us soon.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. And take it easy.